I should say that I asked politely what time you finished that. I was told 10 o'clock.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad you gave out the hymn, What Grace Is Mine. There's a lovely city in northwest Northern Ireland called Londonderry. And near Londonderry, there's a little town called Limavady. And in that town, along a pathway, there is a sign denoting the lady who wrote the words of the Londonderry air. A beautiful tune which we have sung to the wonderful words, What Grace Is Mine.
What grace is mine that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me, that I might live and in his name be known. In 1749, off the coast of Northern Ireland, off the coast of Londonderry, there was a man called John Newton. He was in the slave trade, bringing many slaves to the Caribbean and to what later became United States of America. A young man who was brought up with gospel privilege and who rejected the gospel and became a wretched young man. But by the mercy of God, he was saved off the north coast of Ireland in 1749. His tombstone reads, John Newton, Clark, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy. These words were written by Newton himself, a testimony to God's transforming power. After years as a hardened slave trader, that wretch met Jesus Christ and abruptly turned to defend the gospel he had so long despised. Throughout Newton's years of ministry, God's amazing grace remained central to his thinking when it was suggested he retire at the age of 82. Due to poor health and a failing memory, he responded, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. That I am a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior." With those rich thoughts in mind, let's read some words from Ephesians chapter 2, where we have four cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. I'm going to read from verse 1. "And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the air, of the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of living, in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We know that God will bless his word. You will note that the beginning of this section refers to walking. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And the section ends with walking. And you walk, that we should walk in them. But there are four cardinal doctrines in this passage. First of all, there's the doctrine of sin. Secondly, there's the doctrine of grace. Thirdly, there's the doctrine of salvation. And finally, the doctrine of sanctification. First, in relation to sin, four things common to all of us. We were dead. We were dominated. We walked according to the spirit of the age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the course of this world in the authorized version, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We were dominated. After all, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that every sinner is blinded by Satan. And we were in bondage. And we were in hopelessness. We were dead. We were dominated. We were defiled. The verse 3 refers to the desires of the flesh and of the mind and the lusts of our flesh. We were unclean in the sight of God. Dead, dominated, defiled, and doomed. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. The doctrine of sin, in a short paragraph, dead, dominated, defiled, and doomed. But God, the doctrine of grace. Four words that are key to an understanding of the doctrine of grace. First, mercy. He's rich in mercy. Mercy is pity in action. Many a time on the main streets of our cities here, perhaps, but certainly back home, we may see a wretch lying in unkempt, unclean, with a few pennies in his cap, begging for mercy and pity. That's a picture of the sinner. Wretched. You know, we're just bankrupts with nothing to plead. We're just wretches on the street. But the pity of God, the compassion of God through Christ has reached us. Mercy. And then secondly, his great love wherewith he loved us. Love. The agape love of God, uncaused love, selfless love, surrendering love, sacrificial love, love that led the Lord Jesus to the point of death on the cross. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Mercy, love, and then in parentheses, by grace you are saved. This is the distinctive word of the Christian gospel. This word is not found in any other religious system upon the planet. This is the distinction in the Christian gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel of undeserved favor. It's the gospel of the God whom we have come to know, who took the initiative and disclosed himself in grace and sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. How can we begin to appreciate the fact? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Has raised us up together made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. His mercy, his love, his grace, and his kindness. The kindness of God speaks of his disposition. By disposition, God is kind. And there's a day to come. The ages to come. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But then the doctrine of salvation. Verse 8. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's the doctrine of salvation in one verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, that saves the sinner. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the flaw in all religious systems. They are works-based with a view to acceptance by God of some description. But the gospel of the grace of God is absent of works. The ground of our salvation is the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a wonderful Savior we have. The doctrine of sin, how black the background. The doctrine of grace, how rich and undeserved. The doctrine of salvation, how unmerited. And here we have the doctrine of sanctification. For we are his masterpiece. The original Greek word there is poema, from which we get the English word poem. I love poetry. Poetry is the rich expression of the human mind in a structured form. Christ has restructured us. We are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, in this passage, Paul describes salvation in terms of resurrection. We're raised with him. And in terms of creation, a new creation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, works are not the ground of our salvation, but works are the proof of our salvation. Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. What does that mean? It means very simply that God has a plan for our lives. Those of us who are saved by grace, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, there's a pre-prepared plan for our lives. How wonderful to realize it through divine grace and by the reading of the Word and establishment of the will in our of the will of God in our lives. God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He has set us apart for himself. He has gifted us with his Holy Spirit. The answer to indwelling sin is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And his power and his presence are designed to make us holy, set apart to please the Lord in time. Because we are being conformed to the image of his Son. And ultimately, we shall be forever transformed into the image of Christ. How can we begin to understand it? We cannot. It's all of grace. love, mercy, and kindness. May these four hints at four key doctrines establish our hearts, rejoice our hearts, fill our hearts. The doctrine of sin. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, that great preacher and commentator, said, in this section of Ephesians, Paul presents us as factory duds. And what grace has done to factory duds is beyond words. The doctrine of sin, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of salvation, and the doctrine of sanctification. May God bless his word to our hearts. Thank you for listening. We'll pray. Our Father, we are indebted to thy grace as we are met here together to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. We give thanks that we have been able to praise thee. We realize from thy word that praise fills the heaven. And the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, soon to be seen by us visibly someday. We believe with the marks of the wounds still upon him, as a freshly slain lamb. And we shall sing, worthy is the lamb, and precious is the blood, and great is our future, because we shall reign with him. Our Father, we bow lowly before thee, in humility, in unworthiness, and bless thee for thy grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.